This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on. Got to get on the church.
On.
I just put an almond in my mouth right before Matt pointed at me. What's going on, Stromer?
You know, I'm doing it. I got so many things to share.
Yeah? Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, I think I'm going to get myself a little hairstyle, and you've inspired me. And I don't know if I'm going high and tight or long and sloppy.
I am.
But something's happened today. I looked up online. Pictures of older men's hairstyles.
That's really sad.
Senior older men's hairstyle. So I'm going to go do that today. Pick something from the chart. You know, number nine. Maybe I'm going number nine.
I was complimented on my hair. All I did was go jump in the swimming pool this morning.
Yeah, well, it worked. See.
Yeah, normally I put a hat on because my hair requires some gel or some pomade.
Why,
or whatever.
Because it gets too high. Otherwise?
It's too like dry and weird and pubey.
Yeah.
But I just said F it this morning.
Pubey.
I want to thank Danner Boots for the show and Geico and TommyJohn.com/M and Scott's Turf Builders. Well, I had a little, I had a funny exchange with Matt. So
yeah.
I don't do a lot of subbing out of things. I got the glass tile I'm doing in the kitchen. I don't do a lot of subbing out, but I have some slab concrete patio stuff to do in my backyard.
You mean you're going to make a new slab?
New slab.
And what's going to be there, I wonder?
Well, there's like an old slab and an old slab and a new slab that's going to go between the two. And I can form concrete pretty good. I can pour concrete fine. I'm not really a finisher of concrete. And it's also kind of its own thing. And it's also a thing where if you F it up, you're really going to pay the price. So I decided I'll just get a couple estimates and get some concrete finisher guy to come out there and pour slab. I mean, all told, the slab would be 22 feet by 22 feet.
Yeah.
And
what was it, about $5,000? $8,000?
I have no idea. Really, because people ask me about prices all the time. I'm like, I do my own stuff and I use my own guys, so I can't really tell you what the market rate is for stuff. Sort of like saying, you know, how much is surf and turf? And you go, I just cook at home.
Right.
And they go, but how much? Like, you're a cook.
Sure.
And I go, yeah, but I don't go to restaurants that much. I just do it at home.
I
can tell you how much my
steak
costs.
But I tell you, there's nothing worth more than the investment in a fine cement finisher.
Well,
what a difference, man.
I'm with you. And so, for that reason, I had a guy, I'm on a tight schedule, and I had
Why are you? Just because you want to get it going sooner, or you got something that you have to put on top of it?
Well, my thing is, everything in life, here's the way I look at everything. You're just in a giant bakery, and it's crowded, and you got to pull your ticket.
Yeah.
And once you pull your ticket, you can go sit down or go out to the car and read a book or go do whatever. But if you don't pull that ticket, you ain't in line.
That's a great thesis for a – you should create a fine book on that subject.
Pull that ticket.
Pull that ticket, damn it.
So otherwise – and there are many people who some of whom I live with who kind of go, I've been in this bakery for 2 days. And I go, yeah, but if you don't pull a ticket, you're just here.
Yeah.
People have this sort of satiation thing where it's like, I walked into the bakery.
Right.
Now what? It's like, if you don't pull a ticket, you're not in line. And there is no difference between you being in the bakery or you at home in the bathtub.
Yeah.
See what I did with the bees?
Yes.
The bakery, bathtub.
Like a songwriter.
The alliteration there.
Let me hear a little something.
Boom.
Just do some little number.
Whether
there it is.
You're at the bakery, or whether you're in the bathtub. If you don't pull that ticket, you ain't got no worth. Yeah, I'll okay, bang it out.
Look how tender you are.
I'm tender. My point is this, Stromer. I like to pull the ticket.
Yeah, you do.
Because when you pull that bakery ticket, you're now in line.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
So the cement contractor guy's going to have seven jobs going simultaneously.
Sure. You're right.
And you got to queue up. You got to get into that fold.
And you know, then you can slot it in your schedule too.
Right.
Good point.
So
how big will this slab be, 20 by 20?
It'll approximately cover that.
And what are you doing on it? Is it going to just be an outdoor patio?
It's like they tried something at my house. They didn't do a great – they didn't really pull it off. It didn't really work. I needed to pull out a bunch of paver stones. And like, you know, people make bad decisions when it comes to what's under their feet. You know, they go, oh, we'll have a slab, and then the slab will end, and we'll have these pavers, and then the slab will begin again, and then we'll put these ribbons in between, and we'll put some grass, some mossy grass, like, in between. And it just – it doesn't work.
The mossy grass thing, I know. I've done it too. It all dies.
It either dies or it explodes, and you can't control it.
Or you have to put individual drip systems between
each
stone. It's a waste.
It doesn't work.
So it looks great in a picture, right?
It looks good in a picture.
Yeah.
So I said to Matt, let's get this concrete guy set up. He said, I'll have him come by, you know. I got to go out early in the morning to go do Kevin and Bean. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. But I said, let's get him at the house at 9 o'clock, and we'll go over the back real quick. I'll tell him what I want, what I'm looking for. There's some detail to it, and then I'll hustle over here to meet Stromer.
Yeah,
make Stromer wait. So 9 o'clock comes and goes. 9:30 comes and goes.
Yeah.
Now it takes me about 16 minutes to get here from my house. So I start walking down to the car at 9:44, and I see, of course, the truck come pulling down the street, the Telltale truck. It's got the lift kit with the skinny tires. You know when the guys do that?
I do.
They do. It's a great look.
And the horn goes,
well, he didn't lean on it. But the tailgate was a different color from the car. The truck was black and the tailgate was red. So it was a different tailgate.
It's going to either be really inexpensive or really expensive. I'm not sure.
Either way, the guy was pulling up while I was walking down to my car. And then I had to run up and tell Sean, who was at my house, here's what I want to do in the backyard. Man, go find that guy. Go tell him. And then Matt said, did you meet the concrete guy? And I said, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Because that's... I've been telling Matt how these guys roll since I've known him. I think he now fully understands what I'm talking about, right?
It's the kind of question that I ask knowing the answer.
Yeah.
But I hope one day the answer is, yes, I did, Matt. And he was very well put together.
Prompt,
and we had a great conversation.
Oh, no.
I know it will never happen.
Hey,
but
speaking of being put together, let me tell you about some Danner boots.
Yeah, you did.
You know, these are hybrid boots, if you will. They can go where? They can go to a discotheque. They can go to a construction site. You can step on nails. You can kick into stuff. Or some gal can step on your foot with a high heel pump shoe while she's doing the disco chicken. Am I right?
Yeah.
Danner boots, born from logging and exploration. Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. That's right. Every single boot is handcrafted, handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions, whether it be Studio 54 or your construction site. They are going to handle it. I got them. We all wear them, don't we? We're all wearing them right now. It's like a boot fest right now.
They're great looking.
They sure are. The Stronghold Work Boot, 85 years of legendary quality and durability, meets modern construction technology and materials. Tomorrow's classic today, the Stronghold Work Boot. Find your local store at danner.com. That's DANNER.com.
All right, we got a question up here about grout. Anyway, the guy showed up.
And so what happened? What was the outcome? How do you size him up when you meet him? Do you just look at him?
I didn't meet him. I was getting into my car
Leaving. Did it. And your guy's there.
My guy's there.
Is this the guy with the reverse saw blade?
No, that's Rob.
Okay, so who's this guy?
This is Sean. This is a totally different animal.
All right, okay.
So I, Sean kind of got it, so I walked him through it. Also talked about matching old with new.
Oh.
Which I already kind of knew the answer, which is it's really hard to take the old slab, even if it's, and the slab's only 5 years old, but matching it with the new, it never it never works.
It's going to look different.
I was correct in my assumption that it's pretty much, if you want them to look the same all the way across the spectrum, you have to paint it.
So now
staining doesn't really do it.
Yeah, but because it's a modern house, you could get away with a totally different color concrete.
Oh yeah, you could paint. You'd have to paint the whole thing in order to get the sort of uniform look that you're looking for.
What are you going
to
do?
I'd probably think about it, some sort of epoxy coating. Stain's not going to work. Eventually, you can put a sealer or something on it, and it'll get close, but 60%, so he says, which sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then I asked the asked the curing question, which is you can't just paint it the next day. You
right.
gotta let it cure. It's about a month.
Sure,
so
before
anyone
you can do it.
Listening.
Too much moisture.
That's about it.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a question up there. There's a mortar ratio and a grout block wall. Water damage. Well, let's see. Ken, 52, Phoenix.
Hey, Adam.
What's going
How you guys
on?
Doing?
Hey, buddy.
Good, man.
You guys, this is probably a simple question for you, and I knew it, but now I don't. Got an old existing block wall. You know how the sprinklers hit the block wall, stain it. But what's happened over the years, it was built in 84. The grout, I'm not saying the grout, but the mortar line between the blocks is basically decaying and sloughing off. And I've got to come in with a bucket and mix the right mortar and go in and they call it penciling or stenciling or something.
Talking.
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, there's repointing.
That's repointing.
Yeah. It's close.
Is that very complex? Is it pretty simple? Is it...
It's
There's
pretty,
only one ratio, or is there a way to mess this up?
It's pretty simple. I think you just use type S mortar, but I don't know if they want you to mix any sand in with that mortar. I don't think so, but I think it's just type S mortar. But you can give it a quick research to see if they want you to add anything, you know, I don't know, sand, acrylic, whatever. But I'm pretty sure it's just type S mortar. You... Take out the existing stuff.
That's the most complex part is getting out the old grout.
Yeah, I mean, you can take out what comes out. If it doesn't want to come out, you can leave it. You know what I mean? Scrape it out. Look,
or a grinder.
There's a version of it where you get a die grinder and go at it. There's a version of it where you get a blade and go at it, like a right angle grinder with a masonry blade on it. But I don't know. I would... flake out what I could flake out. If it wasn't coming out, I'd leave it. But you can, again, there's a die grinder version. The die grinder's a...
It's a thicker wheel.
Straight ahead.
Yeah.
It's a carbide. It looks like... It's got a little dreidel shape to it.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of cladle. And when cladle. It's dry and radle with that dreidel, I should pladle. Dreidel, ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Dreidel, ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Dreidel, dreidel,
give it up.
Dreidel, ha-cha-cha-cha.
I don't know this version of it. I know I had a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I shall play. I don't know the pladle and the dreidel.
Well, that's a Stromer tradition.
Okay.
We added it.
Yeah. Gary, find me a picture of a die grinder with a repointing bit on it or mortar grinding repointer die grinder.
Can I add some information, Adam?
Yeah.
Well, these are common block walls in Phoenix. They block the backyard. So I don't want to get so cute that I start demolishing the wall. Now I've got to build a wall.
Yeah, I'm
just
with
trying
you.
To come in and
I get it. All right, scrape what's coming off. You could get a hammer and a cold chisel. What is that, Gary? It's a die grinder with a tungsten with a diamond bit on it for doing joints. That seems a little more like for grout. But either way.
Get a big wheel on a right angle grinder and just do that.
You can do that, or you can do the die grinder, whatever it is, for repointing. Okay.
Okay.
But
thank you.
Well, no, hold on. You're not going to do that. You're just going to scrape out the shit that falls out. You're going to clean it real good.
Bag it in with a mortar bag.
You're going to blow some air through it and get all the dust and everything out. You're going to mix up some Type S. You're going to put it in a bag, like a frosting pastry bag. You're going to push it into the hole and then the crack. And then you're going to get a tuck trowel and you're going to tuck it in. You're going to push it in. You're going to pack it in.
And it's going to fall out a bunch, but you're going to keep putting it in when it gets a little more set up in about 15 minutes. Then you can work it with that tool, and it'll look identical to your existing grout joint.
Okay, and Type S mortar. And then how wet or how sloppy or how dry? What would you describe
it? Peanut butter. Consistency of peanut butter.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, hey. And thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
I brought a car down to your car show. That was a fantastic day.
What'd you bring?
I brought the Survivor Datsun that I had. I was shamed, so I parked it all the way at the end, and Leno snubbed it. It was the greatest interaction with him. He was a nice guy.
Well, he was down at the end, too, with his Jensen, right?
No, I don't know where he parked his, but there was a rat Corolla car that a guy had just raced out. It was fun, but we just went to the poor side of the track.
Wait, hold on. The stage, let's call the stage the front. Okay.
North.
Let's call the stage the front.
Okay.
Leno's Jensen was almost all the way at the back. So where were you?
I was directly south.
We don't know direction. Nobody here knows direction.
I don't understand people. I'm done with human beings. Like
I know
landmarks.
That whenever you go to events, you orient yourself with a compass so that you know true north.
There's a long look. Everyone picture the lid of a shoebox.
That's
and
south,
when I'm trying
southeast.
To explain. Yeah. I'm trying to explain that the stage was on one end of the shoebox going long ways,
right.
And that I will call that the front.
Yeah.
And I will call the furthest away from that the back.
Yeah.
And Leno's car was all the way, almost all the way in the back. So what I'm trying to ascertain from Ken, calling the stage the front, where was your car? There's a middle in that as well. But we'll see if we can do this
again.
Well,
I wonder if in Phoenix you have to reference everything to Camelback Mountain.
That could be.
Ken, the stage
was
the front.
The very last space in the back.
Right.
You couldn't have gone any farther. I butted my car up against a pillar.
Jay's,
and we sat down there.
Jay's car was very far back as well. So you were near Jay's car, but
now we
don't know what side you were on. Let's have a little more
I was
fun.
In the middle.
You were
down
in the middle?
The very middle.
Oh, okay.
He was right by our friend Luis, who also brought like a Datsun drift car that was right there.
I was right next to Luis, and we joked about rust and patina. On our side of the car, it was rusted cars, and up in the north side, or the front side.
Did you trailer it out?
No, I drove it from Phoenix.
Wow, man. Hero.
And I got back. It was fun. It was a great trip. My better half and my daughter went to Disneyland, and they had a girls' day.
Sure.
I went and did that. It was very fun. You guys were all swimmingly fun. It was just a great event.
Did you hang around and watch Uppity?
Yeah, I watched it, walked out, and the guy you gave an award to did not have a ticket to your show. And I'm going, what are you doing here? And he's all like, well, I didn't get a ticket. I thought I had to work. I go, well, go in and ask him. They'll let you in.
Yeah.
We were going to walk back in, see if he could get him in, but...
All right.
The guy with the square back VW.
I like that guy.
He was a cool guy. Everybody was very, very, very amenable.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks, Ken, and we'll do it again next year.
Those are a great event. Just wanted to say, but Type S mortar, I got it. I'm
All right.
Would you say would you say that the car culture at those events is a pretty well behaved group of people?
It's a good group.
Yeah.
I like let me explain. I've realized I like car guys.
Yeah.
Gary, you can look it up. When it comes to repointing brick or block, do you just go straight type S mortar, or do you mix a little sand something else in there?
Or right. Lime it up a little bit more it sticks.
You know? Well, we'll see. Gary will see. Now, let me say something.
Yeah.
We live in a new world filled with bitches.
Filled with assholes.
Just bitches. Like chick bitches, dude bitches, dudes that are wired like chicks. Just fucking pain in the ass bitches. Yeah. Car dudes.
Not the great generation.
Bitches.
No.
Car guys. They live in a tangible, mechanical kind of world where you have to drive a Corona wagon from Phoenix to the Peterson Museum, and you have to live in a world that is bitch free. You can't just be all pussies, bitches and pussies. That's all we have.
What about hoes?
No, I got no problem with them.
You know, a wise man once said that bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
True.
Yeah.
So,
thank you, man.
Car guys don't bitch. Car guys fix stuff.
Yeah, they do, because you got to.
There's two modalities.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You can be in bitch about stuff and want to know what's going on. Like, what's going on with the environment? Or someone's got to get some universal health care. We got to give a living wage to everyone. Everyone needs $1,000 a month just to live on. We need to blah, blah, blah. By the way, you don't do any of it. You don't pay tax and you don't do shit. Uh-huh. Fine. But then there's fix mode. How are we going to get it done?
Right.
What are we going to do? Car guys are in fix it mode.
Right.
And they're not in bitch about it mode, because bitch about it mode doesn't get your transmission fixed. You either drop that transmission and fix it, or you shut the fuck
that's
up.
That's true. You're right. Okay, let me ask you.
They don't talk about it. They do it.
Let me ask you one more question, because now guess what I'm doing to the 2001 Cabrio convertible.
Oh, you still got that car?
Yeah, you know what I'm doing?
One part. Oh, hold on. Gary says, first few sites he looks at, says one part cement, one part lime, to six parts of soft sand. Yeah, I'm asking type S mortar. Do they want you to add any? I'm not asking how to make it up. Can you just use type S mortar for your grout line on a block wall, or they want you to make up your own mortar, essentially?
So far, everyone seems to be saying make up your own mortar in the...
Yeah, because people have their own secret ingredient. Like, I put a lot more lime in vertical surfaces, always.
And
sticks.
And so don't use type S mortar in these grout lines.
I've not seen anything that says don't use it.
Well,
but...
look it up. Keep looking. I'll tell you about Tommy John.
All right.
Men and women both love Tommy John. Scott's a happy man because I'm wearing my Tommy John now.
You wear them in the pool, don't you? And then you hang them up to dry. And you rotate between two separate underpants.
I got to be honest with you. Yeah. Today?
Yeah. No. A couple
guys in the backyard working.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling good enough about myself to go out in the Tommy John. I wore some gym trunks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little self-esteem issue today.
I was feeling a little bloated.
Why?
I just didn't want to...
Too much salt?
I don't know, but I made a tough decision.
What'd you do?
I went out in gym trunks instead of Tommy John.
Did you feel a little resistance in the water?
I felt them when I went under for my underwater.
Yeah.
I go topside on the way out, underwater on the way back.
Like Tarzan.
Things just about came down to my ankle.
No.
I pushed off too hard.
We might want to get you one of those unisuits at the pro swimmers.
Yeah. I'm going to need that.
You got to glide. And then Sonny could just hose you off.
I pulled out the Tommy Johns that I had drying from the day before.
Yeah, you did.
And now, so. I do is I just rotate them. I wear one Tommy John in the pool.
Yeah.
I dry it off, put on the other Tommy John the next day.
Perfect.
That's how I do it. Anyway, dress shirts. Wore the dress shirt on Kimmel's, man. They stay tucked in. They also have undershirts that are perfect. Everything is the best. It's Tommy John. It's backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Yeah. Guarantee. No adjustment needed. Right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now. Get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, so
let me just tell you something real quick. I'm investing in, and I don't know how important it is for you, but I'm investing in high-quality audio components for my 2001 Cabrio convertible so I can hear low-end, mid-range, and high-end when the top's down going 70 miles an hour in the Cabrio.
You, with
what do you
your
think? What
driving
do you think of that?
History, do you think a smallish
decapitation car, is that what you're worried about?
You could be full Jane Mansfield. I feel like you should be driving a Mercury Marauder from 1984
probably.
With a string of old tires tied around it like a tugboat. Yeah. That's what you should be driving.
You're right. You're right.
Not something sleek in Euro sleek with in no Euro. Roll bar.
No, it has a roll bar.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you need a cage.
I need a helmet.
You need a full cage.
A full cage. I know.
You can't just drive with
you're
the roll
right.
bar.
My wife and you have the same idea of my driving. You're
I could have Sean at the other shop. He could just go ahead and fab you up a cage.
Will you?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Maybe just have it all the
literally,
time.
He'll just make it out of 1¼ chromoly.
He can do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing.
He'll build you a full cage.
Do you appreciate high-end audio in your vehicle?
I appreciate head safety first, and then second is high-end audio.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Sean to make you a cage.
All right, I'll take it.
Now,
can I get in and out of it with a bag of groceries?
Well, you won't need the doors anymore. we'll put a net up where the window on driver's side.
Yeah, that's right.
So what we do now, I don't do it. I did it when I drove a professional race car. They'll have a net up in the driver's side window. And then the passenger side, we got to take the seat out of the passenger side. We'll have this weird triangular, like trapezoidal shaped net that'll come up next to your right ear.
What does
and
that
be
do?
Held in place
oh.
with a like come along, held in place with a tie down.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
I don't know. People don't there's a Gary, when you're done looking for Type S mortar. Now did you find it? I don't want to give Ken the wrong advice. And I'm not a Mason. So
it certainly says that for older homes, you should not use Type S.
For older homes.
Correct. I'm not seeing anything positive about S yet, but
so he should mix up his own stuff with sand, lime, and Portland cement.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
That is what the internet is telling me.
All right. So Ken, do that and scrap my Type S mortar, though. I'm still confused.
It won't stick. It won't hold form as well.
Okay. Still a little confused. All right, so we'll get you a cage.
Get me a cage and then a helmet and a suit.
Not,
I want one of those suits too, man. I gotta get one of those.
We're gonna get you a helmet. We're gonna get you a fire suit. We're gonna get you a net in your window.
Yeah.
We're gonna Type O works well for repointing, not Type S. So you can buy a bag of Type O mortar,
which is also called high lime mortar.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Get a. I don't want it mixing and all this ingredients.
Yeah,
up.
Just one bag will be fine.
Get a Type O mortar.
It's probably got like
and use
5 feet
it.
Of this stuff anyway.
Thank
That's
you.
Yeah.
Right. So when we do the cage, we're gonna put a hookup for a harness as well.
Okay.
A 6-point harness. Right. Now you go 6-point.
What do I need? Why do I need 6?
Obviously you need the lap belt.
Cool. Yeah.
You need the 2 shoulder harnesses.
Sure.
And you need the 2 coming through the legs.
Yes.
That's your submarine belt.
Which does what?
When you have your head on, it stops you from sliding under.
But when?
When you have your head on,
yeah,
it stops you from sliding forward.
I see.
So that's called a submarine belt.
I see. Okay.
And they've made it into a 6 instead of a 5 because... They used to just have 5 and it'd just be 1 going through your legs.
Oh,
now
see.
They kind of
it's a
go
loop.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, if it's fitted wrong, will it tear the genitals from my body?
What we've learned is we want the mounts for your shoulder up at shoulder height. They used to do them down low.
Yeah.
And all that did was pull you in the wrong direction
in
the event. Of a head-on collision.
Right.
So we want to get that up high.
Yeah.
We want to get you situated, and we want your lap belt down low.
Sure.
Over your hips.
Right.
Not up over your liver.
It can mess up the liver,
We want it down low. So we're going to pull your sub belt down low.
I got you. Mm-hmm. So do I need a helper to get me in and out of the car?
Yeah, we'll have a guy getting you in and out of the car.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be able, now listen.
Yeah.
for SCCA rules,
yeah,
and IMSA rules,
yeah,
we're going to have an official time you getting out of the car.
While I'm getting groceries.
I don't, you can't.
Whatever I'm doing.
Wherever you are, he's not going to be interested in what you're doing once you get out
of the
car.
He'll be available to go to the store shop with me.
If we need you completely belted in.
Okay.
And we need the nets in place.
Yeah.
And then when everything's in place and you're all belted in, helmet, Hans device,
yeah,
head and neck restraint system as well. Yeah. That'll go under the shoulder harnesses.
Okay. Yeah.
It's important that the harness go over.
They got to be really taut.
Over the Hans.
Yeah.
Once you're all clipped in.
Then I can proceed.
We'll put a stopwatch on you. And we need, I think, I've done this before. I think they give you 20 seconds to get out of the car. But maybe it's 30.
You mean because of fire?
Well, inevitably, there's going to be a fire. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of fire, we're going to have to remove the sheet metal fuel tank in that car, which is probably in the back.
Correct.
And we'll have to put something with a bladder in it.
So I won't be able to fit my subwoofer?
No. No, you won't.
Yeah.
You won't. Okay. No, we'll have to put a fuel cell in there.
I see.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Tell me about Geico.
Geico. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. What about the idea of saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's extra money in your pocket. Oh, you betcha. That's the most rewarding to-do you can do today, geico.com. Check it out.
All right. So I think that'll cover it. Oh, yeah. We want to put a bottle in there.
What does that do?
Fire suppression.
Sure.
And what we'll do is we'll have the bottle in there,
yeah,
and we'll plumb it.
And we'll does that bottle contain a fire retardant?
Or yeah.
It does. So it's like a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll take that bottle and we'll do hard lines. We'll do one to the engine compartment.
Right.
We'll do one to the rear where the fuel cell is.
Correct.
And then we'll just do like one between your legs.
So if my crotch will
there'll be one in the cabin. Yeah, and there'll be that.
Got
okay.
It.
And we'll also need a power switch outside of the car in case there's an issue and you're unconscious and first responders are going to want to shut the fuel pumps
they
off.
They can turn it off for me. Okay. Should there be directions on the side of the vehicle and a placard?
Well, we'll definitely have a power. Well, there's a triangle.
Yeah.
I think it says E or something or P or something. We'll have that triangle where the power, so they can locate it outside of the car.
Right.
And then inside of the car, you'll have a plunger for the fire system.
Sure.
Like literally just a big red plunger. But I don't want you hitting it when the car's parked or you're climbing in and out of the car. Once you're belted into the car, we'll pull the clip.
Okay.
The clip will have a flag on it. We'll pull it. It'll be live at
point.
When you come back from getting groceries, put the clip back in.
And I love the fact that I'll have all this, and then I'll be able to accelerate at approximately 7 miles per hour to get
We're going to add some weight.
Yeah.
The Chromoly's going to add some weight.
Will. Okay.
But we're going to remove the passenger seat and the rear seat.
So no kid pickup in the car.
They can ride in it. I don't know if it's going to be safe, but they can be in the
but
car.
But at least I'll survive.
We're going to remove some weight.
Yeah.
And then we're going to add some weight.
Gotcha.
We're going to remove some weight. We're going to add some safety.
Okay. Thank you.
Gary, got a question? A home improvement question?
Yeah. So my house was built in the late 60s, and I'm looking at putting in a new NEMA, like a dryer plug basically in the garage to charge my car.
Uh-huh. And you got the new three.
Wait, what do you have?
It's got the Tesla 3.
Wait, who does?
Me.
You got a Tesla 3?
Who does? The guy is asking how to charge his Tesla 3.
So basically the guy came out and my electrical panel is in the literally on the backside of my house. Think of it as a shoebox. And the garage
is
at the front of the
southeast stage. Yeah. Yeah, it's a shoebox. I like to think of it more as a coffin, but go ahead.
Well, it is probably going to be my coffin. So at the back of the coffin is the electrical panel.
Yeah.
And it's on luckily on the same side of the house as the side of the garage that I want it. But it needs to be run along the outside wall of my house, basically 40 or 50 feet from the back to the garage. And I got a quote for that. And I got a couple quotes and I looked online and that looks reasonable. But the guy originally told me, you know, your panel's not going to be able to handle it. You need to upgrade from a 100-amp panel to a 200-amp panel. And then I looked around at some of the forums and people said, well, here's the fastest you can charge it is 50 amps, but you can also charge it at like 32 and it'll still be fast enough, but – you know, it may not – maybe you can get away with not replacing the panel. So I emailed back the electrician and he said he recalculated it. And if I wanted to charge it at 32, I could do it with my existing panel. So my question to you guys is, would you do that, which is what is most attractive to me because it is the lowest cost?
Do you own the house?
Yes. Or would you bite the bullet?
Quiet. Yeah, you got to upgrade.
Beef it up.
Okay. You got to upgrade that panel.
Get a new panel.
100's not enough. 100 is – is 100 is, you know, pre all the air conditioning and all the
right.
flat panel TVs and Teslas, and it's just
so just do 200.
You're going to be if you have that house for any period of time, if you plan on staying there for any period of time, and your homeowner upgrade that panel, do it sooner than later. If you ever sell the house, the first thing the person's going to do is go, oh, he's got a 100-amp panel. Right. We're going to have to replace this panel. It's going to cost $40,000.
Right.
You know, so they're just going to ding you the second they see the 100-amp panel.
Right. Do you guys have any sense of
– No.
I got a quote.
We have no ideas.
Okay.
But I can tell you
– price-wise, for a panel,
right.
$4,500.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Upgrade the panel. And you might be able – I don't know if you have a house in the 60s. Do you have any crawl space up in the attic?
There's a very little one, but the attic is nowhere near any of this stuff. So the house is a peak on the left side that basically only is exposed in the master bedroom, and the right side of the house is all flat.
He's talking about running rigid on the outside of the house?
Correct.
Okay. All I'll add to this, I'll say – upgrade to the 200-amp panel, and there's a possibility, if there's a way to do it, of running the cable, the high-amp cable, over the top and directly to where you want to go and then dropping it down, minus running rigid.
I asked him
everywhere.
I asked him about that, and he said that they
– got to be in conduit.
It gets too hot or something in the summer, so they don't want it on the roof.
I don't mean on the roof. I just mean through the – but you don't have a through the crawl space.
No, the crawl space on the other half of the house.
All right.
Okay,
upgrade that
you.
Panel. You'll
okay,
be glad
you
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What color is this car, Gary?
It's a dark gray.
It's out in the parking lot.
It is. I didn't see it.
You're parked right next to it.
Yeah, you almost smashed into it with your giant minivan.
I hit that with a drip with my minivan.
Oh.
Shit, I
did not. You couldn't see it through. No, the window net will
it
cut down on visibility.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get you. No, I'm serious now.
Okay,
we're going to get you a wink.
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. You know what a wink mirror is?
No.
A big wide one, right?
Gary's going to find a picture of wink. The wink is unbelievable.
I need it.
Oh, listen, if you're going to drive with a net.
Yeah.
And then a Hans device.
Restricted movement
and
in my
your
head.
Helmet. You're not going to be able to, you're going to want to run wink.
Yeah.
That wink's a mirror goes all the way. You sit in the car, you're belted down to the car. You can't move.
No.
You can't turn your head, but you can look up at the wink and see every lane behind you.
Right.
It's like six mirrors in one long mirror.
So that'll impede my the placement of my tweeters a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about
that.
All right. And also, like I said, they'll have the we'll get you a new, like, NASCAR-style seat that has the wraparound headrest.
Like a Recaro kind of a deal or something different?
They all make one now.
Oh, they do? Okay.
I don't even know if Recaro makes one, but they'll make one, and it'll wrap around your head.
It will?
Yeah. So, okay. But you'll have low visibility.
Right.
But you'll have to use the wing.
I have to.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Let me tell you about Scott's Turf Builder.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, easy way to get the lawn of your dreams by simply feeding your lawn a few times throughout the year. Feed your lawn four times a year for thick, green, and lush lawn. Help to crowd out pesky weeds by creating a greener, stronger, more resilient lawn. Scott's, no quibble, money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you get your money back. So you feed it once early spring. Well, that's about now.
Yep.
Then hit it again in late spring, then summer, and fall for a greener, stronger lawn all year long. Be the envy of your neighborhood. Start with your Scott's Turf Builder program today. Right about now. It's right about time to start with the first of four. It's a Scott's yard, baby. Let's take care of ourselves and let's, again, let's make the neighbors jealous. Scott's. All right. Let's see. We got a question, a video question. What do we got?
Oh, we got an email question.
Email.
And, you know, as always, we love them. Email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, and go to aceontheroof.com to see the videos and all the pictures. Here's an email from David. Hey, guys, get it on. Looking for some advice on how to fix a plaster wall. At some point, there was a water leak from the refrigerator ice maker on the opposite side of this wall, and the repair that was done looks like poo. Will sanding it down and repainting work, or will I have to cut out this section and replace it with drywall? Love the show. Thanks, fellas.
So, he's saying plaster. Does he mean plaster,
Stromer? I
don't
know if he does. It looks like a crappy patch job.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is.
There is no sanding down of plaster.
No, there isn't.
Yeah. And there's no sanding down a drywall.
Yeah.
You must replace it. Now,
tell them about if it's going to be redwood lath under and it is plaster. That's going to be a different story. Right?
Would it be redwood lath they used?
If it was that old.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I'm trying to think of not Doug Fir, cedar. It seemed like it was cedar.
Yeah.
All the stuff would turn out. It seemed furry.
Yeah.
But redwood's furry too.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do is I would explore. I would punch a hole. I just bang a hole in the center of the war zone and sort of see what was in there. Where's my closest stud? Is there any insulation in there? Is it button board? Is it lath? Is it drywall? I would then cut out the trouble. Now, the thing about cutting it out is you can use one of those universal tools, but anytime you fire something up, it makes a mess.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use that universal tool that, who makes those things? What do they call those things?
Multi-tool. Yeah.
If you're going to use like a multi-tool, use the multi-tool and then use the shop vac right next to
it. There you go.
Just hold it right
there.
And
it'll usually throw dust in a certain direction. Identify that and put the vac right behind that direction.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure if the multi-tool does it. I think it just puts it into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But either way, cut it out. There's a few ways you can do it. Sometimes, not in this application, but sometimes it's smart to take your drywall patch, cut it first, put it against the wall, and trace around it, and then you know it'll fit.
Right.
So you kind of reverse engineer it.
Right, right.
Pull it out, put the drywall back. Thickness. You know, you can run some little cardboard furring strips. There's all kinds of furring stuff you can run against the studs.
To pull it out further.
To make it flush.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it flush. If you're going to do it, it's got to be flush or a tick under flush, but make it flush. And then get out your mesh tape and your joint compound and your 20 smooth set or fast set or whatever the hell you want to use, type S mortar. And go ahead and use two knives. And skim over it.
And do you want him to take that baseboard off when he does the repair?
Yes, take the baseboard off first.
And before you take the baseboard off, always score the top to the wall with a razor knife to get the paint away. And then you can kind of make it go away.
Yeah. And also find the previous homeowner and yell at them for using quarter round where base shoe should have been.
Yeah.
It's such a trash look.
Yeah, it's coming. It's sitting proud of the molding. It looks like shit.
It's sitting proud of the casing. Yeah. Don't do that.
No.
People, don't put quarter round, especially beefy quarter round. Like people use like, you know, 3/4 inch or 1 inch quarter round and they put it at the base where the goddamn base shoe is supposed to be. And then it looks like a big turd on there.
It looks like a quarter of a curtain rod, doesn't it?
Yes. Or a closet pole.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a bad look.
Yeah. Terrible.
Okay. Like, it's the carpentry equivalent of going out in cowboy boots and going, you know what, I'm going to tuck my jeans into the boots.
Wait, that's bad.
That's bad, Stromer. Dave, New Hampshire.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man.
I got an old old 8x8 wood frame shed that I need to take down because I'm getting a new shed put in. And I'm a little afraid of hurting myself trying to take down the roof. Do you have any suggestions on how I should go about taking it down without killing myself?
Well, the most fun would be to truck, if you had a truck chain, and a chain. Just
The redneck way. Yeah, put a chain around it and just yank it.
Dump buster.
Just yank it and film it.
How old is the shed?
The shed's probably a good 15 years old. All the 4x8 siding is all rotted away and stuff like that, but the studs are still, you know, fine. And
what's the biggest piece of wood that's above your head?
I think there's two 4x8s for the roof, and they're shingled.
Two 4x8s.
It's all
that's
2x4 framed.
That's beefy. Yeah.
Two 4x8s for the roof, like where the ridge is? Like a ridge beam?
No. There's it's all 2x4 framed. So there's the wood trusses are just just two boards that go up, and then I do there's 4x8s laid on top of it. It's an 8x8 shed.
Oh, you mean 4 foot by 8 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything is 2x4s. It's not.
Well, nothing. Yeah, I get nothing's it. Nothing's going to hurt.
There's
you.
Nothing. Well, there's nothing up there.
Yeah.
If you want to strip the shingles off the roof and remove some,
I really don't want to do that.
Oh.
Well, then I feel like you just want to drag it. Can you just drag?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you got? Asphalt shingles up there?
Yeah, they're asphalt shingles.
There's not much weight up there. So just start taking it apart and push it over or whatever. Yeah. Like it's not going to.
Nothing's going to hurt you.
Put your kid's bike helmet on.
Yeah.
Make the neighbors think you have special needs when you're walking out to the back.
And put an old, your wife's old 1970s tube top, obviously, on.
No,
also.
Don't be a weirdo. Put the kid's bike helmet on. Go out, demo this out, and I'll bet you when you come back to the main house, there'll be some oatmeal cookies with a nice note from a neighbor waiting on the porch for you.
That's right.
And it'll just say, "We accept you." That's all.
And it'll say, "Congratulations, Davey."
That's right. They'll probably start calling you Davey. All right. Let me tell you, last but not least, Danner Boots, born from logging and exploration. Danner's a Pacific Northwest original. Every boot is handmade to hold up in an unforgiving environment. The Stronghold Work Boot, 85 years of legendary quality and durability, meets modern construction, technology, and materials. This boot looks good. It's at home in a logging camp, and it's at home out at a trendy restaurant on a first date. It looks good, and it works. Tomorrow's classic today, the Stronghold Work Boot. Find your local store at danner.com. That's two N's in there, D-A-N-N-E-R. These guys make a quality product. They're beautiful. We all have them here. That is danner.com, the Danner Work Boots. The original Northwest Work Boot Danner. All right. You can watch my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material, and you can get that at Chassis, two S's and a Y. That's our website, chassis.com. We're doing it ourselves. And you can get it at iTunes and Amazon and everything else. Give it a nice rating and watch it climb the charts. Lots of live shows around town. Just go to amcarolla.com and you can find that out. Go to amcarolla.com/events, is it, Gary?
That's correct.
Live shows everywhere. Stromer, what do you got? A basketball tourney?
No, going out to Vegas. Got to help the old lady with the Aerosmith thing. The wings came in. They're wrong. The wings of fury.
They're doing a residency.
Yeah, at the Park Hotel out in Vegas starting in April, I believe. So.
And is your wife doing choreography?
No, she's the creative director.
Creative director, because they're not really going to have choreography.
No, not really, no.
Interesting. Yeah. So she's setting up the whole stage and everything.
In Pahrump, there's a facility that they're using to rehearse.
Interesting.
Yeah, right.
When's the show launch?
Mid-April, I think. I don't know the date exactly, but
that'll be a fun show. I'd go to that show.
I'm taking you, for God's sake.
Well, you tell them.
Yeah.
If I don't hear either rats in the cellar or toys in the attic, I'm leaving.
Oh, they're going to do that for you. Are you kidding me?
I need one or the other.
What do you want? You pick. You tell me.
I'll go Toys in the Attic.
Yeah, you will.
It's a deep cut. It's their one of their best songs.
That's the first record I learned their music on.
Might not make it into the rotation if they're just focusing on the hits.
Do you understand how many there are? It's unbelievable when you go through a set.
I know,
list.
And this is why I'm worried about not hearing
Toys
in the Attic.
Don't worry about Toys. No, it's coming.
All right. Well, if you can do Rats in the Cellar and Toys in the Attic.
Whatever you want.
And look, if they have something about an entry hall.
Yeah.
In the middle?
Yeah.
I'll listen to that too, okay. But it's really the cellar and the attic.
Do you want to go and do you want to wear the like late 70s, mid 80s outfits and me and you go together?
The striped sort of jumper onesie?
Yep. Yeah,
I'll wear that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You in?
I need a little notice.
Couple weeks?
I'm going to have
There'll be a fitting. There'll be a fitting.
Yeah, I need more than 2 weeks. Okay. But I got to. You know, like make like a fight where I'm dropping down a couple of weight classes.
Oh, you know it. Yeah. Oh, it won't be hard.
All right. What was it? Must have been the late 70s. Tyler had like the onesie, whatever.
With a deep V.
All right.
Come on. We got to do it.
All right. Oh, artificial turf. Sorry, Matt made me a note. I'm looking to get some more and new artificial turf in my backyard. So if anyone does that, they can contact us. Where, Matt?
I just go to adamcarolla.com, look up the contact, probably questions at adamcarolla.com will be a start. Email.
Yeah, and say hi to Dan Patrick. He's got a show on Podcast One as well. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer. Saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.